نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد.
Mercy and compassion. Is an integral part of our being. Muslim cannot perfect his Islam. A Muslim cannot perfect his deen. Without becoming merciful and compassionate. Muslim cannot become deserving of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without becoming merciful. Man la yarham la yurham. One who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. The most beneficent, the most gracious will show mercy to الراحمون, to those who are merciful. The most merciful, the most gracious, the most beneficent will show mercy to those who are merciful. And because he will only show mercy to those who are merciful, become merciful. Irhamu man fil ard. Show mercy to those who live on this earth. Yarhamkum man fis sama. The one in the heavens will shower his mercy upon you. A Muslim cannot become deserving of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he himself is not merciful. He cannot become a complete believer if he is not merciful. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, he is not a complete believer. By Allah, he is not a complete believer. By Allah, that person is not a complete believer. So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alim Majmain asked, whom, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who are you talking about? Who cannot become a complete believer? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. That person whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief. And only that person will cause mischief who is not merciful. A merciful person cannot cause mischief. So that person who is not merciful and who causes mischief to his neighbor cannot become a perfect believer. So without mercy, a person cannot become a perfect believer. Without mercy, a person cannot perfect his Islam. Al-Muslimu man saliman nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. The perfect Muslim is he from whose hand and from whose tongue other people remain safe.
If he is not merciful, people will not be able to remain safe from his actions or from his words. He will swear, he will lie, he will deceive, he will use vulgar language, he will hurt people physically also. Only that person will be able to control his tongue. And only that person will be able to control his actions who is merciful. So without mercy, a person cannot perfect his Islam. And the one who sent Islam as a code of life for us, his very first attribute is Ar-Rahman. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس. In the 99 beautiful names mentioned by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, the very first attribute he mentioned is Ar-Rahman. And the second attribute he mentioned is Ar-Rahim. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن. Allah is Rahman, Rahim, Malik, Quddus. The very first attribute is Rahman. Thereafter Ar-Rahim. The most compassionate, the most merciful. The most beneficent, the most merciful. The most gracious, the most merciful. So the one who sent Islam, the one who gave us Islam as a code of life, himself is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And from amongst all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important attribute is Ar-Rahman. Allah is Isme Dhat. Allah is His personal name. Allah's personal name. Allah is our Creator's personal name. And these are all attributes, His qualities, titles. Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Malik, Allah is Quddus, Allah is Salam. From amongst all the attributes, the most important attribute is Ar-Rahman. It is for this reason, it is mentioned first, and it is for this reason, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Not Abdullah and Abdul Quddus. Not Abdullah and Abdul Aziz. Not Abdullah and Abdul Qadir. Not Abdullah and Abdul Muntakim. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Most beloved names. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before doing anything, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before doing anything, say Bismillah. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most gracious, most merciful. Before doing anything, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is the instruction of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of which, throughout the day, every Muslim will be drumming this message in his heart and mind that my Creator is Rahman and my Creator is Rahim. My Creator is Rahman and my Creator is Rahim. My Creator is Rahman and my Creator is Rahim. If my Creator is Rahman and if my Creator is Rahim, does he want me to have mercy or does he want me to become crude? It's not possible that he is merciful and he will become happy if I become cruel. If he is Rahman, if he is Rahim, then definitely he will become happy if I become merciful also.
So Rahman Ta'ala has said Islam. And Rahman Ta'ala desires from us that we become merciful. That's why he instructed his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was given the title Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So Allah is Rahman and Rahim. And the Nabi he sent for us is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Rahmat for all the world. Not Rahmat for humans only. Rahmat for humans, Rahmat for jinns, Rahmat for animals, Rahmat for angels, Rahmat for everybody. So through Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us that we become merciful. We behave with mercy throughout our 24 hours. Now if this is the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we behave with mercy throughout our 24 hours, throughout the year, throughout our life, then it's not possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a command to us which does not have mercy within it. So we can conclude that anything Allah has commanded us to do, it is nothing but mercy. If we carry out that amal, we will acquire mercy and the people around us will also acquire mercy. Allah is one merciful. The Nabi he sent was full of mercy. And he has commanded us to be merciful. So it's not possible that Allah says to us that throughout your life remain merciful. And then he says, do this, which does not have mercy. It's not possible. We may not understand the angle of mercy in what he has commanded. For example, 5 times salat. You may say, we understand the angle of mercy in salat. I may say, I don't understand angle of mercy in salat. Where is mercy in salat? You may say, I understand the angle of mercy in fasting. I may say, but I don't understand. I don't understand the angle of mercy in saum, in fasting. You may say, we all understand the mercy of angle of mercy in zakat. And I may say, somebody might say, but I don't. Because creator is creator and creation is creation. Creator understands everything, the creation cannot understand everything. We all vary from each other. I may understand something, you may fail to understand that. You may understand something, I may fail to understand that. But the logic is, the rational is, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be merciful throughout our lives, then He cannot not order us to do something which is not mercy, which does not contain mercy. Because there will be contradiction. For example, let's assume that salat does not have any angle of mercy and it is oppression. Salat is operation for other people. Or salat is operation for us who perform salat. Na'udhu billah. Only an example. Let us assume. So Allah says that spend all your life with mercy. But how can we? When we perform fajr salat, we will be oppressive. When we perform zuhr salat, we will be oppressive. When we perform asr salat, we will be oppressive. Let us assume for a while, for argument's sake,
that there is angle of oppression in fasting. Now Allah says to us that spend all your life with mercy. And at the same time He says fast in the month of Ramadan. So from dawn till sunset we will be in oppression. We cannot remain merciful. So we have to conclude that Allah the Rahman, through His Nabi who was Rahmatul Lil Alameen, has ordered us to be merciful throughout our lives. And who warned us that if you are not merciful, I will not show you mercy. It's impossible that He orders us to do something which is contrary to mercy. So whether we understand or not, everything He has asked us to do, there is nothing but mercy. Even if apparently we can see maybe oppression, maybe hardship, we have to accept. There must be mercy, hidden mercy. Like we say, blessing in disguise. So mercy in disguise. It is our lack of understanding. There are many people, when they study the Ahadith, they study the Quran, they see contradictions. Even in Durus you hear that there is an apparent contradiction here. Because one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says there were 1300 of us. And another Sahabi radiallahu anhu says there were 1400 of us. So was it 1300 or was it 1400? There is a group who claim to be Muslims, but who totally reject the Ahadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very dangerous group. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 1400 years ago, that I should never find one of you saying, whilst he is reclining on his couch, Hasbuna Kitabullah, the book of Allah is sufficient for us. Sunnah, Hadith, Kitabullah, the book of Allah is sufficient for us. That means the time is going to come when some people will say that, so make sure you are not one of them. 1400 years ago, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after approximately 1300 and something years, a person emerged and he began this movement. And he said, no hadith. And he said, how can you rely on something which has contradiction? One Sahabi says 1300, another Sahabi says 1400, a third Sahabi says 1500. Was it 1300? Was it 1400? Was it 1500? How many people were there? Apparent contradiction. Because I have mentioned this scenario that in one hadith it says we were 1300, another hadith says we were 1400, another hadith says we were 1500. Everybody will say, yes, it is a contradiction. Then we refer to the commentaries. We refer to the commentaries. And when we read the commentaries, the explanation of these hadiths, then there is no contradiction. After we study the commentaries, there is no contradiction. One very common answer regarding ahadiths such as these is that when you have a large gathering, nobody counts the gathering. For example, this gathering here, who is going to count this gathering? Nobody counts the gathering. So one person will say, after Fajr Salat, it was 2:30, everybody was tired. There were dozens of people there. And another will say, there were hundreds of people there. Somebody will say, there were approximately 250 people. Another will say, no, there were 300 people. Somebody who goes to Blackburn, he will sit with his friend and say, every day after Fajr Salat, 200 people used to sit with him. And somebody who goes to London will say, every day after Fajr Salat, 150 people used to sit. So large gathering, the Sahaba were not counting. So one Sahabi went to Basra and he said there were 1300 people. Another Sahabi went to Baghdad and he said 1300 people. Another Sahabi, Madina Munawara, he said 1400 people. And another Sahabi is talking in Makkah Mukarrama, he said 1500 people. Now we understand that there is no contradiction. That is why whenever you talk about contradiction in the Quran and Hadith, you should say there is an apparent contradiction, not contradiction. And the reality is there is no contradiction. It is my lack of understanding. So there is a group that says, following the Quran is sufficient. How can you rely on a hadith? How can you rely on a hadith which has contradiction? But there is no contradiction in the hadith. It's your lack of understanding. It's my lack of understanding. So why do we see this contradiction in a hadith? What is the difference between we and the commentators of a hadith? Why is it that they cannot see this apparent contradiction? And we can see this apparent contradiction and we need to refer to their books. The answer is, their hearts were very clean. There was no dust on their hearts, so they could see everything very clearly. And there is dust on our hearts, so we cannot see anything clearly. So similarly, those people who have dust on their hearts will not be able to see mercy in every command of our deen. And those people whose hearts are clean and pure, they will be able to see mercy in everything. Every command of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Encourage your children to perform salat at the age of 7. I cannot see mercy. Why cannot I not see mercy? Because my heart is not clean. At the age of 7, you encourage your children to go to the masjid for Fajr salat, Zuhar salat, Asar salat, Maghrib salat, Isha salat. 7-year-old child, so young. I cannot see mercy because my heart is not clean. And all the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala, none of them questioned, none of them said anything. Because their hearts were clean and they could see the mercy in this command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam is nothing but mercy. Our deen is nothing but mercy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was nothing but mercy. Quran is nothing but mercy. Ahad is nothing but mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim. So it's not possible that a Muslim will terrorize anybody. A Muslim will oppress anybody. A Muslim will cause anxiety to somebody. A Muslim will cause the least harm to anybody. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to the marketplaces himself. Imagine his status. And imagine his mission. Did he have time to go to the marketplace? His mission. In 23 years he had to complete the whole deen. Teach everything to the Sahaba. He would go to the marketplaces. To buy food for his family? No. To check the food. That is how merciful he was. To check the food, the quality of food. Those people who are coming to buy food from the market,
Are they not being deceived? To make sure. He used to go to the market places. I mean, heaps of wheat, heaps of barley. He would enter his hand and check inside. Check the quality inside. Why? Because some tradesmen would place the barley and wheat in water overnight so that it becomes heavy. So half a kilo becomes 1 kilo. And they would cover it with dry barley and dry wheat. So he would go to the marketplaces and enter his hand inside and check. For whom? For himself? No, for the public. The public. This is how merciful he was. He says, Qurratu aini fi salah. The coolness of my eyes lies in salah. Whenever I am disturbed, what do I do? Immediately in salah, because I find comfort in salah.
Allah.
People take, to remove anxiety, they take medicine. This was his medicine. إِذَا بَادَرَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِيَ إِلَى السَّلَةِ. If anything bothered him, he would rush towards Salat. So imagine how much love he had for Salat. How much love he had for Salat. And he is performing Salat. He himself said that I am performing Salat. And while performing Salat, it becomes my desire to prolong the Salat. Because of the spiritual condition of the time. So when I begin the salah, the intention is not to make the salah very long, but whilst performing the salah, the condition I am in, it becomes my intention to prolong that particular salah. But suddenly I hear a young child crying. And as soon as I hear the young child crying, my thoughts go towards the mother of the child, who may be performing salah. And who is unable to attend to the child until I make the taslim of salah, I complete the salah. So he says that out of mercy for that mother, I shorten the salah. Salah for a Nabi and salah for Sayyidul Mursaleen. Imagine his communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is performing salah. In salah he used to see Jannah, in salah he used to see Jahannam. His close connection as soon as he says Allahu Akbar. Only Allah knows what must be opening in front of him. This is how merciful he was. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that during the night, if he had to leave the room, he would get out of the bed so quietly that he would not disturb me. He used to observe his practices sometimes when she is awake. And she would not let him know that she is awake. So she can observe and pass this knowledge to the ummah. She would leave the bed without disturbing him. He would walk gently, quietly, up to the door, so that I am not disturbed. He would open the door very, very silently, so that I am not disturbed. And he would close the door behind him very silently, so I am not disturbed. This is how merciful he was. دیکھ کر اخلاق کو اور آپ کے الطاف کو. After observing your good manners and your characters, وہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the poet is saying, وہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, after observing your good moral and good characters, lofty characters, and after observing your kindness and compassion, غیر بھی کہتے ہیں تو وہ رحمت للعالمین، بہتر اخلاق کو اور آپ کے الطاف کو غیر بھی کہتے ہیں تو وہ رحمت للعالمین. ایون دی ڈس بلیورز اینڈ ایون دی اینمیز آر کمپیئر ٹو سے دیٹ دس پرسن از رحمت للعالمین، از رحمت فار دی ہول یونیورس. It was his miracle. He went into a garden, and a camel came walking towards him and started making noise. So he paid attention to what the camel was saying. Who is the owner of this camel? I was messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your camel is complaining. You take more work from your camel than its ability. So make sure you don't do that in the future. He has to look after everybody. Everybody. Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to study deen, to study this beautiful life, so we may understand the true nature of Islam and we are able to talk to the Muslims, our friends at work, our school friends, we may meet up. When we are traveling in trains, in buses, coaches, in taxis, we shy away. If any incident takes place in the UK or abroad, those a few days are very difficult for us. What if my work colleagues start this topic? What will I say? Because we are unaware of Islam. Islam is so beautiful, Islam is so nice, Islam is so pleasant. So friends, we all need to understand that Islam is peace. Islam teaches peace. Islam is mercy. Islam teaches mercy. There is another booklet published by the Islamic Dawah Academy, which everyone must try to acquire and read. Islam, the message of mercy. And try to pass on to others also. Try to pass on to others this article, other good articles on this topic. This book, Islam, the Message of Mercy. Read it, pass it on to Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Islam is a religion of mercy, it is a religion of peace, and because we are its followers, we have to become people of peace and people of mercy. And we have to remain people of peace and people of mercy. And alhamdulillah, Muslims are people of peace and people of mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to learn deen and follow deen. From among the five branches of deen, one is aqeed, belief. The other is ibadat, devotion. Salat, sawm, hajj, zakah, tilawah, zikr, devotion, worship. The third is muamalat, transactions. Muamala, transactions. Fourth is muashara, etiquettes of social life. And fifth is akhlaq, good morals, good characters. If you study good morals very carefully, good morals, as a result of good morals,
a person will not be able to become pain to anybody as a result of good morals. Good morals. A person who has good morals, who acquires, who learns this branch of deen, and who adorns his life with this branch of deen, he will not be able to cause any harm to anybody. He will not be problematic for anybody. Because as a result of adorning himself with akhlaq, he will become very generous. He will not remain stingy. He will become very humble. He will not be haughty, arrogant and proud. He will become a well-wisher of everybody. He will not be jealous. Jealousy will go away. So the debasing qualities will go away. And the praiseworthy qualities will come in the heart. This is akhlaq. These qualities will come in the heart, and then the heart will compel this person to behave accordingly. So husn-e-akhlaq guarantees peace. Husn-e-akhlaq guarantees mercy. Muamalat. What is muamalat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muamalat means dealings and transactions. And in dealings and transactions, you have minimum of two parties. Sometimes it could be three, four, five people, but you have two people at least. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has laid down all the rules and regulations for transactions and dealings. I want to rent a house. I want to sell a house. I want to buy a house. I want to rent my house out. I want to borrow something. I want to lend something. Everything speed. I want to give hadiah. I am accepting hadiah. All rules stipulated. Mu'amalat. And what is the basis of mu'amalat? The basis of all injunctions regarding mu'amalat is that people deal with each other and make transactions with each other in such a way that neither is inconvenienced. So this branch of Sharia Muamala guarantees peace and guarantees mercy. Then comes Muasharat. Aqaid is neither beneficial to anybody else nor harmful, if we look at it from worldly perspective. Because what I hold in my heart is neither beneficial to my neighbor nor harmful. It's in my heart. I believe that Allah is only one. It's not harmful to anybody. It's not harmful to the person sitting next to me. It's neither beneficial nor harmful. So aqaid is neither beneficial nor harmful to anybody. Husn-e-akhlaq, beneficial. It guarantees mercy and peace. Muamalat, it guarantees mercy and peace. Third, Muasharat. What is the basis of Muasharat? Muasharat means etiquettes of social life. So how you interact with other people. How you interact with your wife. Because you live under the same roof. So how you interact with your wife. If you wake up in the middle of the night, how you behave when your wife is sleeping. How you behave with your children. How you behave with your parents. How you behave with your neighbor. How you behave in the masjid with your fellow Muslims. Muasharat, social etiquettes, etiquettes of social life. And what is the basis of these social etiquettes? You behave in such a way that you do not cause the least harm or anxiety to anybody. You do not cause the least inconvenience to anybody. If you have made a promise to somebody that inshallah I will meet you at your house at 7 o'clock and you are stuck in traffic and you will not be able to make it until 7:15, then it is the demand of social etiquette that you phone that person and you let him know that, brother, I will be late 15 minutes. Not you tell him after you arrive 15 minutes late. Let him know before 7 o'clock. Because if you don't let him know, you will inconvenience him for 15 minutes.
Muashara.
So from amongst the five etiquettes, from amongst the five branches, from amongst the five branches, one is neither harmful nor beneficial. None Muslims. Spiritually, as a result of Aqidah, everybody benefits. But if we are talking to a non-Muslim, we will say, my belief are neither beneficial nor harmful. My ibadat, neither beneficial nor harmful. I perform my salat in the masjid. It neither hurts you nor benefits you. I do my tilawat at home. My ibadat is either within the four walls of my masjid or four walls of my home. Two branches out of the way. The other three branches, Mu'amalat, Mu'asharat, Husn-e Akhlaq, they are beneficial. Beneficial for everybody. Why? Because it guarantees security, it guarantees peace. It saves everybody from inconvenience. It saves everybody from inconvenience. So the whole deen is nothing but mercy and peace. So let us all not become merciful, let us all remain merciful. Because Muslims are merciful. And if we are making any errors anywhere, let us help. Sometimes we become selfish. And as a result of selfishness, we cause harm to people, we cause hurt to people. The virtue of kissing and Hajarul Aswad, great virtue. But the ulama have stated that if you are unable to kiss Al-Hajarul Aswad, the black stone, without causing inconvenience to anybody, then it is more rewarding not to kiss the Al-Hajarul Aswad. So if a person kisses Al-Hajarul Aswad, after causing inconvenience or whilst causing inconvenience to people around him, and there is another person who says, no, hurting people, causing inconvenience to people, Allah dislikes. And kissing Al-Hajarul Aswad is mustahab. The zeal is there. The feeling of deprivation is there as well. This friend has already been, they are all talking about kissing Hajar-e Aswad, and I will live deprived? No, you will not live deprived. If they have caused inconvenience to other Muslims and kissed Hajar-e Aswad, they have deprived themselves, not you. Any person who goes to Makkah Mukarramah, and if he is fit and healthy, he will want to kiss Hajar-e Aswad. And why not? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who kisses Al-Hajarul Aswad on the day of Qiyamah, Al-Hajarul Aswad will bear witness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person is a true mu'min. So why will not anybody want to kiss Al-Hajarul Aswad? And Allama Iqbal said, Tere bose ko hum dete hain bosa, sangi aswad par. Allama Iqbal said, we Muslims don't worship stone. So why do we kiss Al-Hajarul Aswad? So he said, we don't kiss Al-Hajarul Aswad. We kiss the kiss of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Al-Hajarul Aswad, so we are kissing the kiss of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't worship stone. Tere bose ko hum dete hain bosa, sangi aswad par. Vagarna hum musalmano ka diya rakha hai patthar mein. तेरे बोसे को हम देते हैं बोसा संगे अस्वद पर वगरना ہم مسلمانوں کا کیا رکھا ہے پتھر میں, وی مسلمز ڈونٹ ورشپ سٹون, بٹ وین یو سی اس کس دا حجر الاسود, وی ڈونٹ کس الحجر الاسود, وی کس دا کس آف آور نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. This is how emotional and sentimental a person becomes when it comes to kissing Al-Hajar al-Aswad. But what does the Sharia say? If a person is able to kiss Al-Hajar al-Aswad by inconveniencing his Muslim brother or sister, then he will be sinful. He will not deserve the reward of kissing Al-Hajar al-Aswad. Because kissing Al-Hajar al-Aswad is mustahab, it is desirable. And cause harm to Muslims is haram, not permissible. Do not come to the masjid with a foul smell in your mouth. Raw garlic, raw onion, smoking. Don't come to the masjid. Why? Because you will hurt the angels and also your fellow Muslims. Salat with Jamaat, how important. So our deen is full of mercy. Our deen is full of mercy. During the time of Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmeen and our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were so many non-Muslims under the Islamic state. During the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when the caliphate extended far and wide, there were hundreds and thousands of non-Muslims living under the Islamic state as zimmis. As zimmis. And zimmis means the person for whom the Islamic government is responsible. In Urdu we say zimmedari. And in the terminology of Sharia, the full word is Zimmatullahi wa Zimmatu Rasulihi. Nowadays, I read some articles long time ago in a newspaper that these Muslims call us Zimmis if we live in their state. It's a derogatory term. Zimmis. Because they are unaware. Zimmi is short of Zimmatullahi wa Zimmatu Rasulihi. That this person is the responsibility of Allah and the responsibility of his Rasul, so look after him. When Umar radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed, or when he was giving his final advices, he said, Usikum bi Zimmatillahi wa Zimmati Rasulihi. That is how much importance he gave. He said, I am advising you and I am making a bequest to you to show kindness and goodness and graciousness to those people who are the responsibility of Allah and the responsibility of His Rasul. These are the words he used. And he gave importance that even before dying he said, Usikum bi Zimmatillahi wa Zimmati Rasulihi. Islam gives them protection. And Islam today also gives protection. Islam does not give permission for violence. Islam does not give permission for terror. Islam does not give permission for tyranny, for oppression. Islam teaches peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant even the non-Muslims tawfiq. There are bad apples in every community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all the bad apples tawfiq. In whichever community they are, Allah give all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the Muslims and the non-Muslims the tawfiq to study Islam properly and to appreciate this beautiful message and beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the Muslims the tawfiq to practice Islam. To practice Islam properly so that we may become shining example for other Muslims and also the non-Muslims.
Amen.